Hello, welcome to the 5280 podcast. Strap on and have a good time.
Mobile 5280 Studios is proud to present Weekend Geek Update Special Edition. I have Jerry, and it's not fair because every time I turn around, I mess up a last name, and yours is not going to help me.
No, it's Mulowai.
And what nationality is that?
It is an African name. It's from Belgian Congo, Central Africa.
Wow! You are far from across the pond.
Yeah, quite far, actually.
Quite far. Yeah, because I looked at that, and Jerry's a wonderful artist, and he's got some incredible skills, and I'm like, I need to talk to you, get you on the spotlight. Then I looked at his nationality, like, oh, I'm going to butcher that.
Thank you.
So, you're here at Comic Fest.
Uh-huh.
Is this your first con?
No, this would be my third Comic Fest.
Okay.
But I've been going to the convention circuit since 2012.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, now, I was noticing some of your style. It looks like you're into some classic DC draws and all of that. Or what do you find you're most comfortable drawing right now?
Well, I'm comfortable drawing a lot of variations of existing characters. Like you said, classic DC. That was a lot of the stuff that I grew up with.
Okay.
The Batgirl that I draw all the time is the Yvonne Craig Batgirl from the Batman 66.
Yes.
The same with the Catwoman, because those were the biggest thing that had influence in me.
So now, did you grow up here in the States, or were you... I mean, what's your childhood like? What were you exposed to as far as comics?
So I was born in Kinshasa, Congo, and I spent 10 years living over there, and then I moved when I was 10 and a half. I moved here.
Oh, wow.
And it's a very different environment.
That's a huge culture shock.
Yeah, you're telling me. Like, the first time I went to a grocery store... It was, wow. It's almost if you're watching from the outside, that kid didn't have a chance. But when I was younger, my mother took me to her friend's house to get her hair done. And I was 7 at the time, and I just, you know, didn't care much for it.
Right.
But there was another kid there, and he was drawing, like, tons of stuff, like, And I wandered away from my mother's interesting conversation with her other friend to inside of the house. And I was looking over, and he gave me a book. It was a Lucky Look. It was a French cowboy comic. And he told me to put some tracing paper on it and trace everything I saw, the lines.
Okay.
And I did that. And right afterwards, I remember it clicked. That's how it started. I just started drawing ever since then.
Wow. That's quite a successful story. Was trace once and done?
It was like I couldn't...
Well, I'm sure you cultivated and all of that, but...
It was... It felt like a switch had been pulled. Like, I just couldn't stop doing it. And then we moved here, and I didn't draw as much until I went to school. And... I struggled a lot with English because French is my first language.
And there's a huge, it's drastic. And when I just rattled off, you know, all in,
yeah,
French, you're like rattled right back at me. I'm like, is he fucking with me? Because he knows how to speak French. So I didn't want to know. And yeah. My French is a little rusty. I don't want to embarrass myself.
Oh, well, you speak French. Like, did you study or do you, like, spend some time?
I spent some time. My family's from Italy.
Awesome.
From Napoli. So we've traveled and been all, and I've been across the pond a couple of times. So you have to know enough to get by, because there's, not that the French are bad, but they're a little snobby sometimes. And if you don't order exactly right.
Yeah, you're screwed.
They ignore your ass.
It is over.
At least Paris, they're a little forgiving. But outside of Paris...
If you go in the rural parts of Paris...
You're done.
Yeah, you're done. There's just... And, yeah, so...
So your natural tongue is French.
Yes.
So how long did it take you to... Because, I mean, there's a lot of slang, and French is such a beautiful but literal... language. Uh-huh. I mean, how long did it take you to adapt to English?
About a month and a half.
What? Jesus, okay. Well, it was not that long then.
Well, because, like, I surrounded... When I was growing up, I surrounded my stuff with things that I would that I had to learn. So being the oldest, I had to be like proactive in learning certain things because I have siblings behind me. So it took a month and a half. There were lovely people at my school who were helping me out like daily. I was learning that way. And I was also seeing a counselor at the time who was helping me adjust to the culture shock.
Right.
And every week when I would do good on my homework assignment, she would give me a page of a comic book. Which she found out I drew, and she went and got me comics. And then like every week I would finish, she would give me a page. And I would read those pages over and over and over. And then, and I still have that comic too.
So she literally ripped out pages just to give them to you.
No.
So you kept like all the comics, put the pages together to make the comic.
No. She would make photocopies of it,
okay.
So they're black and white, and I would end up just. She would give me black and white pages. I would color them. And I was just like, okay, I gotta do it, gotta do it. And then when she ran out of pages to give me, she gave me the book at the end of like about a month or so. So I was.
That's
eager.
quite. Once you got the taste for comics,
yeah.
I mean, where did you go from there? What is your hero of choice?
Well, I have, on the Marvel side, it's Captain America.
It's kind of hard to beat Cap.
It's because that's what I loved about the character was I would read everything about him, and everything he did was hard. Like, sticking to your moral compass, to your values, the thing that define you, who you are, even at the cost of personal happiness,
yeah,
was always interesting.
He never compromises.
He never compromises. Even when, you know, you would go, maybe it should. On the DC side, it's kind of a twofer. I like Batman and Superman.
What? No, so, you're speaking gibberish. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Say that again, because that was gibberish. You can't like both. It's one or it's night and day.
That's exactly. But they make such a great. It's a great contrast.
It is a great dynamic. One of my favorite scenes in the Batman versus Superman, the first series, is Superman gets hit by a kryptonite bullet and they end up in the sewer.
Right.
And Batman, they're getting surrounded. Batman has
public
no
enemies.
Idea what to do. Yes.
Yeah.
He puts the bomb down and rolls Superman's body on top of the bomb. And he's like, well, I hope this doesn't hurt him too bad. Boom! I loved it. I was just like, and you're right. It is that because Superman would never even think about doing it. But Batman's like, well, I hope this doesn't hurt him too bad.
Yeah. And it's in that same comic. I remember when they break into Star Labs and they're leaving. And Superman's like, oh, great, you have me looking like a criminal. Batman goes, it's done wonders for me. And I was, but it's just, Superman flies. Like, he flies.
And it's like, it pisses Batman off when they try to carry him.
Yeah, it really does. Because in that same book, he goes like, you know, I could have just brought you down here. Yeah, it pisses me off when you do it.
It pisses me off when you do it. And he won't even use like a tow line or have like be dragged behind somebody.
No.
He's like, no, he's too proud. Like, screw you, man.
That's what I love. And those are I know it's a bit cheating, but on the DC side, those are the two that speak to me the most. Superman with he flies, which is
pretty impressive.
And Batman with... Which is the one thing that I like about the character that maybe it's for me.
Right.
I don't look at it as just a hero coming to grips with everything, but I look at it as a psychological thing. Like when they did The Dark Knight Rises, I love that ending because he finally got it out. Like he went through a horrific trauma.
He got his out.
Yeah, he got his out. And everyone, like my friend, were like, he's going to be Batman for life. That's when he becomes crazy.
Well, and they hint at it, especially when they're like, if you stay around long enough of the story,
right.
You either become sooner or later you become the villain,
right?
And it played so well into the third movie where you know, does he become the villain or
it did
whatever? So I that one I can't argue that,
right. I mean, there are many flaws in the film, but I always see him as more of a... I look at it as like, this is a guy who finally And I remembered something Kevin Smith said. I was listening to him one day, and he said, like, nobody ever figures out that this is an 8-year-old kid who went through a horrific trauma and then, like, had to crawl and fight his way to get to a point where he's functioning. Like, Batman is kind of like a coping mechanism, but...
Well, and they kind of reference that Bruce Wayne's the mask.
Right.
And that Batman is truly... who Bruce Wayne is.
Yeah, he's truly who he is. But, yeah. So that's kind of been my exposure to the DC stuff. So, yeah.
So have you watched Gotham at all or anything like that?
Yeah, I've watched Gotham a couple of episodes. I still wasn't sure about it was a hard sell. Gotham, because I was...
The first season sure is a hard sell. I'll give you that.
Like, it was difficult because I wondered, why didn't they just do Gotham Central?
Yeah, GCPD or something along that line.
Right, and Batman would be like, you know, you'd have, like, Gordon coming down from talking to him and saying, like, here's what we need to do. And but it has its fans, so I'm not going to be that guy.
No, I'm. Trust me, I bash the shit out of that show constantly. It has been the bane of my comic book existence.
Well, what do you not like about the show?
The fact that they screwed the thing up from the start. It's like 90210 meets Gotham. You have, you know, Poison Ivy, who's there, who they call Ivy. It's not Pamela Isley.
Right.
You got, you know, Catgirl running around. The ages are all whacked out. I mean, Harvey Dent's already the district attorney.
Oh, I didn't get that far.
Gordon, this last season, killed somebody. I mean, there are lines... I'm open to some things, but hey, just don't screw with my Batman. And I can't watch Arrow because Arrow infuriates me.
Okay, I gotta know why.
Because it's Batman.
Well,
it's all Ra's al Ghul, Talia, the whole League of Shadows. That is all Batman.
You know what? The one thing, Arrow season one, I love that one.
Really?
Like, well, because Oliver was killing his villains. I remember one He talked to Diggle in one scene and said, like, he had his chance, and he went out and killed someone. I'm like, that's a different side of the character.
Well, that's more along, like, the Longbow Hunter series and all right. of that, where he's all, you know, smoking people.
Which I kind of felt like, yeah, that was good. What about Flash? Do you like the Flash?
Flash I love. Flash I love because they've actually held true to a lot of the villains.
Okay.
Some of the characters, there's the gray areas, but it's been engaging enough with enough twists that I'm like, wow, okay, especially with Zoom and Reverse Flash and Barry, and now they have Wally in there, right. And so now I'm just kind of curious. And what?
So were you one of the guys who cried at the season finale of season one when he met his mother?
No, I didn't cry.
Oh, how could you not?
I didn't cry.
All right,
I'm a heartless bastard. That's probably why I didn't cry. But see, then I thought they were going to go down like the Flashpoint road with the recent storyline from Flash and all of that. And I'm like, please don't do that. And
not a fan of.
No, I don't like Flashpoint. It's stupid.
What about the animated version of that?
The animated version, I mean, I can kind of, yes, no, maybe, kind of on the bubble. What I did like is that they were just killing people left and right. I mean, and when you see Shazam get smoked like he did, I was like, oh, that is brutal. But see, I do like where the cartoons go.
Right.
Because of how they can just take certain liberties, because this one done. They'll just pull out the stops and we don't care.
So, okay, so I take it you're not a fan of the movie universe, right?
If DC could do something other than Batman, maybe.
All right, so let's play this one step back. What did you think of Man of Steel then?
At first, I hated it.
Okay, was it because of, you know...
Killing Zod.
Which he's done in other films.
Which he has done in other films. However, after rewatching it, and it not being, you know, in the hype in the moment and coming out of the theater, it is actually a very solid film. And it does set everything up for Superman versus Batman.
Right.
So, stepping back, taking the fanboy and the experience out of the system, I appreciate it better. I'm still pissed about him twisting Zod's head like a freaking bottle top. I'm not going to lie. So now, what about you? I mean, are you really into the films? And I know you're a DC guy, but how are you on, like, the Marvel side of the films
I love all of them, actually. I love the Marvel and DC equally because The Marvel side, my top three are Ant-Man, because it just bumped iron. Ant-Man was the one that I felt they got the story between Scott Lang and his daughter correct.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked that story. Iron Man was, again, Tony Stark was not a character. I mean, I knew who he was, but never cared about, and Downey really made that character great.
Right.
And then the third is Cap 1 and Winter Soldier, which were just...
Well, it's, see, I would go... The Winter Soldier before the first Cap. I liked the first Cap, but I think Winter Soldier just killed it. I mean, it was the best espionage movie you can have.
Exactly.
And it added the comic book element, and just like the whole intrigue and the development of the characters was just... Wow!
It was, but the reason I love Cap 1 is there's a romantic aspect to it, which I actually genuinely respected. The whole... you know, there's something about that time period of like going to war. It's an American twist on valor and chivalry, which I really like.
And you don't want to say give it like a certain kind of, you know, romance to it, but
there
was, it was a very solid, heartfelt move at the end, and you're like, oh, you know, poor Bucky.
And you felt when the scene that always comes back to me is when. They're doing this the movie like of Captain America's exploits, and he puts open the clock, and there's Peggy Carter's image in there, and he like puts it away, and then
you didn't see that.
Like, it's almost like Steve Rogers wanted to play into the myth that everybody else did, and that's why I like it. But Avengers 2 is the one which I felt was great. I mean, not too many people liked it, but I liked it. It felt like a reaction to Man of Steel, because everybody was like, "We do not kill people. Like, we need to save people. We need to like." It was really. But I loved the whole movie.
I'll give it to you, sure.
But the one fault that I see about Marvel films, which I think it looks like they're going to correct with Civil War, is consequence.
Well, that's the whole point behind Civil War. Now, how much? Since your first comic book, how much have you been reading? How much have you engrossed yourself into the subject matter, into the material?
I've engrossed myself greatly into it. So I would pick up everything that I want. Like, I was fortunate enough to live close to a comic store, and I made friends with the guy running it that I would just go. And so I read the first Secret Wars, the new one, the Dark Knight Returns, the Brubaker run of Captain America.
Which is a must.
But you got to read it. The Long Halloween.
Sale.
Yeah, Extremis. I read that. Let's see, what was the big one? Yeah, I've been reading this stuff constantly. You know.
All right. So, if you could, who would you want to draw? I mean, dream job, come in.
Right.
Who would you want to...
Who would I want to draw?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not fair because there's too many.
Well, I'm gonna take Superman and Batman off the table.
Okay, if
can't have that.
Wonder Woman.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's a character who you don't know. Like, she keeps changing her like throughout time. Like, there's always a different take on the character. She's ever changing. In terms of what she does, what she was supposed to do, she's now the God of War. There was a time when they took her power away and she could do karate gimmicks. There was another time, like, which again,
when she was running around with Artemis?
Yeah,
it was with Artemis.
There's the one where they gave her a pants and like a jacket and.
Oh.
And then there's the one in Kingdom Come. Like, she keeps getting variations of it.
The Kingdom Come one was. I love her Kingdom Come.
And it's one character that I think I would never be bored drawing.
Alright.
Like, I would want to draw and tell a story that would maybe, like, you would say, like, what's a good Wonder Woman story? The one that Jerry wrote. Like, people.
Alright, so what would your Wonder Woman story be?
If I were to pen one out, I would say that my story would be I would try to stay away from the ideas of the feminist stuff and everything else.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, Perez kind of beat that into the ground. So did Byrne. You know, there's been a lot of stuff beforehand, of course.
Right, and you probably don't want to do that. But what I would do is not spend so much time with her origin story, not spend that much time because
thank you.
Not because it's always like, let's see how we can make it different. But the one that I would do is I love the Greek gods and that kind of a story.
Mm-hmm.
I would do something akin to Brian Azzarello's run, where it'd be more of like expanding her universe, creating more villains. So I would do something called like where one of the greatest things in Greek mythology has always been Zeus, something close to like the God of War storyline.
Because I did like that, because Ares was awesome and so twisted in that.
Yeah.
And I love the Ares in DC way more than the Marvel Ares. The Marvel Ares is a punk.
Right.
I was happy when they smoked that son of a bitch. But when they started like toning down Ares' power and, you know, putting him in suits, I'm like, that's not the Ares that I know. I want him with the battle axe, the helmet, the dark eyes, just... Yeah. Full on God of War.
Right. I want to mirror the Greek mythology stuff with how we were taking our world. What if Wonder Woman existed in our world, but Superman, Batman, and the other heroes still are there, but they don't have their powers? They're just regular people that, for example, Clark Kent is a journalist.
Oh, wow.
Like, you take away the powers of everybody else, because I feel that it's really hard to make her stand out when you have he can exist here, he can. So make it a one-run story where Wonder Woman is the only one that has her power, that has her godlike strength, and then have all the gods and everything just play against mortals. Like Batman could be succumbed to one of the tricks. A woman named Ivy can be used by Cersei. And Bruce Wayne being a built, like, you can kind of play off of that.
And Superman has no defense against magic, so just a spell and he's done.
Yeah, and not afraid to also kill some characters. Like, Superman is the one character, like, I would, for example, let's say he died reporting a news story.
Perfect.
Like, you know, it'd be like the gods are, like, Ares is, like, unleashing something crazy. Clark Kent reporting it dies. And that's like, you know, like, you'd be shocked. You flip the first page, he's dead. You know, and then Bruce Wayne does the one thing he said he would never do, which is work with Lex Luthor in arms dealing and creating weapons.
Right out the window.
Right out the window. It's like, because, yeah, you'd be like, you'd read it and go like, that's some Wonder Woman. And then Wonder Woman, when she comes in, it's not just saving man's world and like, oh, we have to save man, but look at what the gods are doing.
That's a very good twist on like the justice storyline.
Yes.
I like that. I like where you're going with this, Jerry. I like this idea a lot. You should pen this. Submit this. I give 50% creator market. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I'll give it to
you. All right, fine. I like it. So what do you, what do you do? Are you trying to submit? Are you trying to get into comics? Because, your art is brilliant. I mean, the Supergirl I just saw you pen out.
Uh-huh.
A wonderful style. I mean, it's very light. You're not heavy lines or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
So what's the goal? Are you trying to get in?
Yeah, the goal has always been to, it's very simple. I want one day to just have a comic that some kid can pick up that has my name on it, story and art. And the way I'm doing about that is I'm starting to write stories right now. I actually wrote one superhero story because I really like this concept. And then once I'm done with it, I'm going to premiere at the Denver Comic Con this year.
Okay.
And then I'm going to submit it, see how it works, if people like the artwork. And I'm happy that you like and everybody seems to be responding to the art well.
Mm-hmm. So your style is very, very crisp, very beautiful. I like it a lot.
Thank you.
Now, when you were growing up and everything, who's your favorite artist? Who did you look at and say, damn, I want to draw like that guy?
Okay, this is going to be, like, way out of left field.
If you say Rob Liefeld, I swear to God, you're going over the table.
No, it wasn't Rob Liefeld. It was a combination of people.
Okay.
So I grew up, you know, I had two.
Okay, that's fair.
Kirby was, I had the first one were Kirby.
It's kind of hard to go against the king.
But then I also had the old masters. I love the work by Michelangelo. I love the work by Carlos Meglia. He's an Argentinian comic book artist.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote the series Cyber Six.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I know, I'm familiar with the series. I don't own any of them, but I'm familiar with it.
Yeah, I bought it all because I remember he was really good. I liked Michael Turner's artwork.
I met Turner. I've got a huge Turner collection, prints,
yeah.
The whole. Turner was brilliant. Love Turner.
And, God rest his... he passed away in 2008.
Yep.
And I remember I wanted to meet him so bad. and Michael Turner was always amazing for me. And there's Jason Fabek, who's doing
really?
The Justice League one for, I like his artwork.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Capullo.
Good old Capullo.
Like
his run on Batman, I honestly, and I've said this on so many podcasts, he was sandbagging on Spawn. Because, I mean, what he has pulled for Batman has been...
It's gorgeous.
I mean, it is a work of art. It has replaced Hush as my favorite
really?
Streak on Batman because Capullo and Snyder have killed it.
It's been just... It's gorgeous. The Night of the Owls and Court of the Owls were the ones when I picked up the book.
With the new 52?
Yeah, yep. I was just... It was gorgeous. It was sleek, and I loved every part of it. So, and I think that's about it. I think those are the ones that I kind of gravitated... Well, and Steve Ditko. I
got a slip of Ditko in there, do you?
Because...
Spidey?
Yeah, because the eyes that he did, like, because that's the thing about the trailer. As soon as I saw those eyes, I'm like,
Well, as soon as I saw it, I saw, like, John Romita or, like, the Marvels storyline.
That's another one.
And, yeah, you can't.
John Romita Jr., because his entire run on Spider-Man is where I got in.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out that he did, like, his father did Daredevil, or was he?
John Romita did Spider-Man as well and did do Daredevil. And, yeah, they've bounced back and forth between each other.
Yeah, that was the one with, was that Born Again?
Maybe, I think
Was it the Man Without Fear with Miller?
Man Without Fear, that's Miller.
Yeah. So, yeah, those are the ones that, that I kind of gravitate to.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. So, what's up next? Your next con? What's your next project?
Well, my next con is the Anomaly Con.
Anomaly Con.
Anomaly Con. And for that one, I've decided to do something I haven't done before, which is adding diversity into the comic world.
Okay.
So, I've done a few things. So, I'm... taking a lot of the heroes that I like, so I made a black version of Wonder Woman. I've been looking at a lot of the artwork and noticed there's not enough of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have a sister who loves that character. My mother loves Wonder. Like, my mother grew up watching the Linda Carter.
Yeah.
Like, we actually bought her the whole collection. She has that. And my mom knows who Wonder Woman is.
Thank you.
And in homage to that, I'm like, you know what? I can do that. So it's just kind of... changing a lot of the race and genders, which I'm going to do for an Anomaly Con with a steampunk / Victorian style.
Very cool.
And then after that, it's the Denver Comic Con where I hope to premiere.
That's the show. That's the big one.
That's the big one where I'm going to premiere my book. It's called Atoms of Mercury.
Okay.
I actually brought a cover for it.
Perfect.
I'm going to premiere that and... it's going to be a 15-page comic where people can kind of get a look at it. And I hope that one really works because it's an experimental thing. I'm not used to this.
You never know. You'd break in the new territory. You never know what's going to happen. So if someone at home wanted to watch it or look at your art style, do you have like a webpage or are you on the Twitter or what you got going on for Facebook and all that?
So I'm on Facebook right now. You can find me under The Art of Jerry M or under my name, Jerry Mulawayi.
Spell that, because no, that's going to get bored. Hooked on Phonics is not going to help a soul with that freaking name, dude.
All right, so it's GERRYMULOWAYI.
Yeah, just like it sounds, right? Not so much.
So you can look at me on there, and then come Comic-Con, Facebook, and we'll pretty much send links to the website and then the store and everything if people want to... get in touch with me that way. Yeah, but that's how they can get in touch with me.
Excellent. So you will be in Artist Alley.
Yes, I will be there.
Perfect. Jerry, thanks for sitting down with us. Appreciate you spending time. Good luck. We'll keep an eye on you, and maybe we can get some of your art and story out on the page. That'd be nice.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.